From the Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com. Pleasant good morning to you. This is Patrick Timpone. It's a beautiful morning here. Going to be 100 again, so batten the hatches. I don't know what happened in spring. We missed it. Just went June 2nd, 2011. And this is OneRadioNetwork.com. Tomorrow, open phone Friday. And on Saturday, Andrew Goss and another adventure into the real world of money. I tell you what, I have been talking to a lot of people over the years about the financial situation, and I've talked to a lot of them, many of the people, you know them all, the famous guys, the more famous than Andrew, and I think that he has a better grasp and a clearer head about what's truly going on. And we never know exactly what's truly going on, but if you haven't heard the show, we have a whole archive section with Andrew Goss on One Radio Network. Next week, Adam Bergstrom. First Monday of the month, David Jubb, the first Tuesday of the month, and then Jay Widener will be here on Thursday, Andrew Goss on Wednesday. So, another great week for you. This morning, we're going to go down somewhere south of me, Patrick. We'll find out exactly where Dr. Richard Sauder is. He has a blog that's pretty wild, boy. You just strap yourself in. Event Horizon Chronicle. blogspot.com, and we'll put that link right here on the show page so you can just work it there, and you can read all about his books and read Dr. Sauder on keyholepublishing.com. He's written written a bunch of books, but started really with this hidden in plain sight, this idea of all these underground tunnels and such, and bases under the world. He's written a book, he writes about paranormal, mind control things, parallel physical universe, not just parallel universes. And his blog is very cool. And Dr. Sauder, sorry about the confusion and the time. Thanks for being available. Where in the world are you?
Well, I'm in coastal Ecuador, down here in South America, and I love it. I intend to remain here. You know, I used to live in the Texas Hill Country. I lived there many years, but now I'm here, and so that was then, and now is now.
Yeah. Have you by any chance run into Dr. Robert Dowling, who's doing some great work with cancer down there, Ecuador?
No, I haven't. I don't move in his circles, and I don't know him, and so, no, I have not.
Well, he's in China right now showing the Chinese people the work that he's doing with these cold lasers and working with tumors, and it's really cool stuff. So when he gets back, I'll hook you up if you like, and I think he'd be a fun guy for you to meet. We like him a lot.
Well, that'd be great. I would look forward to that.
I hear Ecuador is a beautiful place. Are there lots of Americanos down there now?
Lots of tunnels.
Lots of Americans.
Oh, well, yes, there are. There is an American community here, as there is in several of the Latin American countries.
Uh-huh.
I don't know that there are as many Americans here as you would find in Panama, for example, or Costa Rica, but there are Americans here, and also people of other nationalities.
We've heard that the fellow who runs the country is a pretty cool guy.
Yes, Rafael Correa and his party have perhaps been the most progressive political force in the history of Ecuador. And he and his administration have done three things that have aroused the ire of the ruling establishment in the United States. Number one, he renounced the external debt. He said, look, we're a poor country. We simply cannot pay this foreign debt, and so we're not going to. We don't have the money. We can't pay what we don't have, and so we're not going to pay it. Well, they didn't like that very much. And then he also kicked the United States out of the military base at Manta. For many years, the United States had an air base at Manta that was used by the Pentagon to fly all kinds of missions in northwestern South America, including into and over Colombia. Mm. And he closed that base down. He said, you know, if you will let Ecuador have a military base in Miami, then you're welcome to keep this base in Ecuador. But if we can't have a base in the United States, then you cannot have a military base in Ecuador. Well, the United States was not willing to let Ecuador have a military base on the American mainland, so he closed that base. And then his government is also requiring the companies that come here, the big oil companies, for example, who drill for oil, to pay a percentage of their revenues to the Ecuadorian government. In the past, that didn't happen, but his government has said, look, you come here, you make billions of dollars, and you have to pay us for the privilege of doing that, which only makes sense.
Usually Dr. Sauter, usually those kind of arrangements, we were told by the confessions of an economic hitman fellow we've had on, where when they loan the money to these countries that they can't really afford from the IMF and such, then they make these deals and allow these companies to go in kind of free for all without giving the. And I think that's how Chevron got in there, wasn't it? And so he's saying no to this stuff. So he's saying, so how is the United States government reacting to this man standing up for his country, which looks like
In the last couple of days of September in 2010, there was an attempted coup d'etat here, where the National Police and the Air Force rebelled against the Correa government, and there was actually a shootout in Quito between the presidential bodyguards and the rebel forces, and it turns out that the presidential bodyguards carried the day. There were a number of people killed in Quito, both military and civilian. But the coup d'etat failed. Correa is in power. I think most informed observers believe that that coup d'etat had its origins in Washington, D.C. My understanding is Hillary Clinton visited the country just a couple of days before the attempted coup d'etat. So you may connect those dots however you wish. But Correa survived the attempted coup d'etat. And then last month, he expelled the American ambassador for meddling in Ecuador's internal affairs. Well, within the week, the Americans also expelled the Ecuadorian ambassador from Washington, D.C.
I see.
So that basically is a state of diplomatic and official affairs between Ecuador and the United States right now. Correa has no illusions about the nature of American imperialism and about what the American power establishment has done in Latin America and what it would like to continue doing. So his government has drawn a line in the sand and has essentially said, look, in the past, you used to do these things down here, but you know what? Not while I'm president.
We have heard from sources that one of the reasons why he expelled this ambassador, because they were allegedly involved with allowing a fellow by the name of Greg Catton to be kidnapped from Ecuador, because he was originally arrested in this country for selling some black salve for cancer.
I don't know anything about that. I don't think that had anything to do with it.
Okay. All right. Good. All right. So your blog is pretty wild. Now you really get around and out there and all around. I want to kick off by, let's stay political for a second. This amazing chain of events going on in Libya and Egypt, Yemen, Bahrain, all of that area. What do you make? Is this truly a revolution of the people, or are there other forces involved in this. Some people argue this is really about destabilizing the region. What is your opinion?
I believe that the Americans and the Israelis very much would like to turn events in that favor. The Israel and the Americans and the British and the French, of course, included, but certainly Israelis as well. But no, at base, Arabs, especially young Arabs, are just fed up with decades, even centuries, of corruption and exploitation and oppression. They're tired of it, and they're not going to permit it to go on anymore. So there's a tremendous amount of social ferment and rage. And you have to understand that many of these young people have degrees from universities and colleges of various sorts, and they have no jobs. There are no economic prospects. They can't afford to buy food for their families, and they essentially have nothing to lose by rebelling because they're dying either way. And if you tell them, look, if you rebel, we're going to shoot you, their response is, but I can't feed my family. We're all dying anyway. So I think at root it's that the masses in Arab countries, Egypt, Syria, Yemen, and other places, Morocco, there have been riots and demonstrations in Morocco in recent days and weeks. It's from one end of the Arab world to the other, and we saw it earlier this year in Tunisia, to a certain extent in Algeria. Even in Saudi Arabia, there have been some limited protests, and in various other countries all across the Arab world, from the Atlantic to the Persian Gulf and the Arabian Sea. So there's just a lot of pent-up rage and frustration, and the Americans and the Israelis and the French and the British are trying to co-opt what is going on, and maybe they will have some success to a certain degree, but I think this is a historical watershed moment, if you can call this period of a year or two or three a moment, and it truly does indicate that the times, they are a-changing, and when the dust settles, there will be a new social and political order. Now, it will be messy, it will be violent, it will take a period of time, but Mubarak is gone in Egypt, and he and his lieutenants and his assistants and aides will be standing trial in the coming weeks and months for serious crimes. And that was unthinkable 5 years ago. Mubarak was the lackey of the United States and of the Israelis, and now he's essentially in jail. He's under arrest, and he will stand criminal trial in Cairo pretty soon, I believe, starting in August.
Do you think the United States, Israeli contingency, whether it be CIA or what, do take sides in these different countries, Richard Sauter, depending on who they want to see come out on top?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They kill people. If they don't want you in power, they kill you or assassinate you in some other way, move you out of the way so that you are effectively, you will not have a public political career. So absolutely they try to influence events up to and including killing people and, if necessary, large numbers of people. The CIA, the Mossad, MI6, MI5, the French PCN, the German BND, and the Russians have their own intelligence and espionage agencies. These are ruthless, ruthless organizations. And Patrick, they do kill people without compunction, without remorse.
When you say they, let's say use that term, they, would you then categorize these people as what is called New World Order, Illuminati, whatever, the powers that be, if you want to use that term. I don't know what the best term is. Is that who you're talking about, Richard Sauter, as doing this?
No. When it comes to the CIA and the Mossad and MI6 and the French PCN and the German BND and all the other espionage agencies, they are appendages of the Illuminati or the powers that want to be, let's say that,
yeah.
of the puppet masters behind the scenes. They carry out the bidding of their masters. They are working for them, but the ultimate power brokers, for the most part, keep themselves hidden behind the scenes, and it would be rare to see one of the most powerful, say, of the Illuminati or of these powers that want to be, that really are the major puppeteers or puppet masters on this planet, you would rarely, if ever, see their photograph in the mainstream news media or their names. The names of the people that you see in the newspapers or on the television news, for example, are their lackeys. They would be their servants. We tend to think that people like prime ministers or the director of the World Bank or of the Federal Reserve, people like that, we think, whoa, they're the real power brokers. They're the real movers and shakers. No, they are the servants. They are the lackeys. They are the puppets of those who pull the levers of power from behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the powers that want to be, what do you think their ultimate goal is?
Total domination and control of this planet, up, down, and sideways, from the micro level to the macro level. And I include at the spiritual level as well. They practice a real dark sort of black magic, if you will. They have a real twisted, warped service to self, extremely violent, extremely exploitive spirituality. And there is no love in them, not love of others in the sense of compassion or empathy or agape love. They are very vile, violent, very selfish individuals. They do not have the best interest of the planet at heart. They do not have the best interest of the human race at heart. They are extremely self-serving, and they are all about me, my, and mine by any means possible. And they don't mind killing large numbers of people. They don't mind trashing the planet, as long as when the dust settles, they are on the top of the heap. They're psychopaths, in other words, Patrick. These people are not well.
Are these, this is nothing new, though. Would this be the same people that would even be involved in, financing the Civil War, for example, or being involved with financing both sides of wars throughout our young history in this country?
Yes, absolutely, because they make a lot of money off of warfare. And there are people like John Perkins and his Confessions of an Economic Hitman and others who have brought out the fact that, essentially, as Catherine Austin Fitz says at Solari.com, what we have is a central banking, warfare-based, debt-based economic model that has been imposed on this planet now for many centuries, violently, at the point of a sword, at the point of a gun, at the tip of intercontinental ballistic nuclear missiles. You know, you use whatever words you have, but it's extremely ruthless, it's extremely violent, it's extremely exploitive, and war is absolutely an extremely lucrative measure that these individuals use, that these extremely wealthy families and factions use to advance their interests. They make huge amounts of money off of it. They don't care about killing people. It doesn't disturb them whatsoever. As I said, they do it without compunction, without remorse. It's just a cost. Killing people is for them just a cost of doing business, and it is acceptable to them.
If that's true, what you're saying, and that many people argue that you're correct, Richard Sauter, what do you make of those of us who are not part of that group? Why in the world did we incarnate now to work? What do you think our lesson is here?
Our lesson is to look at all of this and say to ourselves, whatever that is, I don't want to be that. I don't want to do that. And I don't want to live on a planet that is infested with this type of activity and with this type of individuals and their mentality and that kind of extremely degraded spirituality. In a sense, they're like walking corpses. They're putrid. If you could actually see their astral bodies or their auras, they're putrid. It's as if you would see animated corpses with rotten flesh and maggots dripping off of their putrid flesh. That's how they are. They're like walking, decomposing corpses. It's disgusting. And so we have incarnated to look at all of that and say, you know, that's disgusting. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to act like that. I don't want to live on a planet where that kind of stuff is going on. So our task is to think differently, to act differently, to be differently, to in a sense, be the leaven that bakes a new sort of a loaf of bread on this planet, if you will. And we are the agents of change to institute or to begin to create a different kind of reality on this planet. That's why we're here. And our day is coming. In fact, our day is beginning to dawn right now. You see what happened in Egypt earlier this year and is still ongoing. That wouldn't have happened 100 years ago in Egypt. It wouldn't have happened 40 years ago in Egypt. But it is happening today. And that's a way of saying that the time of these disgusting, hollow creatures that masquerade as human beings, Patrick, I don't think they are human beings. I think they're some kind of monsters, inhuman monsters, who animate bodies that appear to be human, but in reality, they're not human in any sense that you or I would think of a real, breathing, loving, thinking human being. They are not that. And so what we're seeing is that the day is beginning to dawn where there's going to be a more favorable field of action for real humans, for people like you, for people like me. And so that's the long answer to your short question.
Yeah, that's right. Great. 27 minutes after the hour with Dr. Richard Sauder. He has a blog, eventhorizonchronicle.blogspot.com. We'll have that link right here on the show page, and you can check out his blog, which is fascinating indeed. Also, his books at keyholepublishing.com, and he has several of those. If you care to join the program, we always invite you. The phone lines are always open, 888-663-6386. Email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. It's curious, the more I learn about Richard Sauder, the financial system, and how the powers that want to be control this thing called the dollar, it seems that they, even though it looks like it's out of control, it feels like they have a pretty good handle on holding this thing together if people continue to use dollars. And if we can possibly think of the possibility that maybe they're all in it together, and all the bickering that they do have is just to keep our minds, you know, on that, saying China's going to sell treasuries and all of that. And perhaps that's all just a smokescreen, and they could keep this thing dancing ad nauseum as long as we'll continue to use dollars. What do you think about that?
Yeah. There's some truth to that. On the other hand, much of the world is abandoning the dollar right now. The BRIC nations, for example, Brazil, Russia, India, and China, have begun to abandon the dollar and conduct more and more of their international trade between themselves in their respective national currencies. I've read in recent days that something like 40% of the world's trade is now tending in that direction. So the dollar is in great trouble, and it would not surprise me to see it virtually outright collapse in the coming months over the course of the next, say, half year to year. Beginning this month, the process is already underway. So the dollar's days may in fact be numbered, and there will be terrific repercussions in the United States. As the dollar collapses, you will pay more and more for a lot of different commodities and necessities of life, because as the dollar collapses, it's another way of saying that as things become more expensive, is another way of saying that the dollar is losing value. And that's going to create a lot of social turmoil and political turmoil in the United States. I don't know how that will play out, but we'll soon discover what's going to happen. This summer and this fall are going to be pretty chaotic. The first dark clouds have already appeared on the horizon, and as we go forward in these coming weeks and months, Patrick, you will not be in any doubt that the dollar is in trouble. For one thing, when the Federal Reserve keeps printing trillions and trillions more dollars and injecting them into the financial markets, that waters down the value of the dollar. And if you are, for example, the Chinese or the Japanese, and you are holding hundreds of billions or even trillions of dollar-denominated financial instruments, as the dollar loses value, you say to yourself, your central bank says to itself, WTF, you know, we bought these things X number of months or years ago when they were, in theory, worth, say, $10 trillion. And now this what was once worth $1 trillion is only worth $400 billion. So it's lost 60% of its value. So we've been screwed by Uncle Sam. And so this is going to create a lot of discord internationally. And these other countries will have their pound of flesh. They will, I predict, be very creative. It need not necessarily mean there will be a military conflict between China and the United States, for example, though there could be. I won't rule it out, but it doesn't have to happen. The Chinese will retaliate in other ways, and we will find out. They're creative people. They're very savvy and cunning, so... that's kind of baked in the cake at this point. The dollar is going down. There are more and more people speaking of a dollar collapse or of an outright depression that's, you know, twice as bad or 10 times as bad, maybe, as the Great Depression back in the late 20s and 1930s. So there is tremendous financial turmoil that is blowing up real fast, Patrick.
Dr. Richard Sauder is with us, and I was reading on one of his blogs this morning that he was talking about multiple levels of physical reality. Wow, we'll ask him about that in just a second. Well, one thing real physical is that we do have a body, and we can learn how to leave these bodies at will. Some call it soul traveling. That's what I call it. And we do that when we dream, and that's we're leaving our bodies into another reality. And we can learn lots of cool things, but then we always come back until it's time for us to cut the cord, so to speak, for the last time, and then it just goes back into something, and we get another body somewhere. That's my experience. But while we're here, we like to keep these guys as cool as we can. And one of the things we know is necessary is detoxification, ongoing. And we have guests day in and day out tell us that the primary way to detoxify from the coal-fired plants or radiation or plastics or food additives or chemicals in the food, if you can't eat organic all the time, is sweating. And we think that this far infrared sauna, the relaxed far infrared sauna, is really a dream come true, because it's under $1,000, and most of these guys are $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, because frankly you're paying a lot for the wood, and they're pretty, and you can put them up in your house, and but you have to build them in, and it's quite a project. And then they're there, and you might not have enough room. These portable relaxed far infrared saunas are way cool, because you actually set them up yourself in about 5 minutes, and you can move them from room to room. And it's a big enough piece. Some people get two people in there, you know, and get sweaty together. But it's usually it's a one person, but you can't fit two. And they have a nice chair, a really beautiful, well-built chair. And I know you say, wow, man, a portable for $935? I don't think so. Well, trust me on this one. It is very well-built. We have one, and I just think it's terrific. I wouldn't recommend you spend $935 if I didn't think it was very well worth the money. And it is. What do you see the way this thing works? And you'll sweat like there is no tomorrow. And there is a tomorrow. There is. So all you have to do is go on the front page of OneRadioNetwork.com, check out the little advertisement for the far infrared sauna. Click on that, baby. And here's a promo code, and that'll get you the great price, OneRadio. OneRadio. And it sells for $1,020. With the Run Radio code, you'll get it delivered for $935. Front page, OneRadioNetwork.com.
We hope you're enjoying the program on One Radio Network, sponsored by USGoldCoins.com. At USGoldCoins.com, we provide the best in gold and silver coins, and we've been doing so for over 30 years. Perhaps you're a first-time investor to gold and silver. Perhaps you've been considering adding physical wealth to your portfolio. If you've had any hesitancies at all about looking into this market, now would be a great time to give us a call. 1-800-878-2646 or log on at usgoldcoins.com. We'd be happy to help educate you and provide you with the best in gold and silver coins. Call us today at 1-800-878-2646. Whether you're a seasoned investor or a first-time person to the entire market of gold and silver, we want to be your resource. And you can reach us toll-free, 1-800-878-2646.
Know the source.
The source.
OneRadioNetwork.com. Talk to Patrick now. 888-663-6386 or email patrick@oneradionetwork.com.
In Ecuador, Dr. Richard Sauder and his blog is eventhorizonchronicle.blogspot.com. Event Horizon Chronicle. You know how to do that blog thing, and he's in Ecuador. So this is what a great life. I mean, you sit around, you eat your tropical fruit and blog. I mean, come on.
Hey, Patrick, what's not to like?
I mean, what's not to like about life? All these weird things going on, and there you are under the yum-yum tree, Doc. Good for you. Where did you live here?
You know, in the tropics, there is a lot of plentiful fruit. You can literally go off and go out and pick bananas or some star fruit or papayas or guayabas. I mean,
really?
I am a vegetarian, so for me it's great. There is a lot of fresh fruit and there are a lot of fresh vegetables, so for me it's wonderful.
Boy, a little playground for you. So why did you leave? Why are you living down there?
Well, I came to South America on a vision quest, and I consider that it's ongoing. I did indeed attain a new vision of life and of my place in it. When I arrived, I was here about 3 weeks, and I woke up one morning and thought to myself, I'm not going back. You know, I came down here with a return plane ticket. I planned to be here 1 month, 30 days, and about a week before I was to return, I suddenly had the clear conviction that I was not going to return, and in fact, I have not. I now intend to remain in South America for a long time, and in a sense, my vision quest is ongoing. I now have a different perspective even than I had on the United States when I left last year. I perceive the United States as being a real dark project. It's an evil empire for sure, Patrick. And I no longer want to be part of that. I don't want to even ratify what it's doing by my physical presence there. I don't want to generate activity personally within the geographic confines of the United States. I don't want, through my personal labor, to contribute to that foul enterprise known as the United States of America.
Wow. Well, for what it's worth, we've been doing a lot of research on the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the Articles of Confederation, Northwest Ordinance, and the more and more you learn, that you find even those things, especially the idea of being a United States citizen, is a trap. That you don't even want to be. I speak for myself. I'm not a United States citizen anymore.
Yeah.
You understand that?
If I had,
I just live in Texas. That's it.
Yeah.
Period.
Well, the mere fact that you're buying gasoline for a vehicle in Texas means, and 40% of the cost of that gasoline is various kinds of taxes. And those taxes go to feed the beast, to feed the machine.
I understand what you're saying.
Every time you fuel your motor vehicle, you are materially feeding the machine. Literally, you're feeding the machine you're driving, and you're also feeding the machine that created it, the global machine that feeds off of that gasoline and the motor vehicle, and on.
I understand. So you just don't, you don't want even that karma.
No, I want out, so I've left.
Okay. I see.
As I said, the United States of America is a foul, evil enterprise. It is a pox on humanity.
And we were talking about it yesterday, Richard Sutter, that even though we didn't know it was going on, that doesn't let us off the hook in a sense that we've been trading our labor for these Federal Reserve notes our whole life, and that's also part of this whole dollar brand, which is really what runs the, I would argue, the powers that want to be.
It is. And by the way, when you have, you know, people think if they have a lot of dollars in their wallet or in their bank account that they're wealthy. On the contrary, if you read the wording on the United States dollar, it says in fine print, and I memorized it so I can cite it to you off the top of my head, this note is legal tender for all debts, private and public. In other words, the dollar is a debt instrument. That little piece of paper with George Washington's picture on it, or Abraham Lincoln, or Andrew Jackson, it is a debt instrument. So if you have a lot of them, it simply means you have a lot of debt, because you're carrying all of those debt instruments around with you.
Very, yeah, I think you're onto something there. I know you are.
And it means that you have a lot of debt to pay off, because the notes are legal tender for all debts, public and private. So if you're going around shoveling these so-called dollars at one and at all, it just means, look at how much debt you have. Look at how much debt you're paying off. So it just means you're a slave to the system.
So do you think it's possible, if we can just wax philosophically here, that the people that own and operate the Federal Reserve, and they've done this whoop-de-doop since 1913, that they will get their karmic comeuppance, or however you say that, in the next few years?
Yes, I think they will, because the knowledge about what they've been doing and what they're up to is becoming more and more public, and more people are understanding this. They are slave masters. They are slave drivers. They are slavers. And if you look at people like Alan Greenspan, Ben Bernanke, these are nothing but wannabe slave masters. They are slave traffickers. They are slavers. They are foul, foul individuals. They are hollow creatures masquerading as human beings, and they are absolutely dangerous beings on the loose. And, of course, more and more people are aware of that with each passing day. And as they collapse the economy, which they are doing, they understand what's happening, and they're doing this on purpose. Their belief is that when they collapse the economy and reduce everyone to nothing, that they can come in and snatch up even more assets for pennies on a dollar, because the dollar will be worth so little at that point. So that's their plan, to further increase their control over society and to further reduce people to even deeper slavery for the second round, which they hope will be ever so much better from their perspective, and oh, so much worse from our perspective. Their lust for power is so great. So their days are numbered.
It's interesting. Just thinking here, Richard Sutter, it almost feels like it almost has to be some kind of bizarre, spiritual, real, ritualistic, kind of real dark kind of thing we're dealing with, because the powers that want to be, they pretty much control everything anyway. I mean, they have all the money, gold anyway. I mean, what would be the motive to want more? I mean, it's pretty strange.
Well, there's a real dark, what ayahuasca showed me. Part of my vision quest has been, I've drunk ayahuasca now 10 times since I've been in South America. And one of the things that ayahuasca has showed me is that there's something that appeared to be something like a machine that's in charge of this, trying to take control of this planet and the human race. And the machine is ruthless. It's relentless. It's a very dark power that uses people, anyone and anything it can to advance its agenda. It will not stop coming. And it ultimately is what I perceive, what ayahuasca showed me, is behind this entire extremely dark and evil agenda. When I say machine, it extends, it's a vast artificial intelligence. It extends, from my perspective, what I saw, into the near astral realm. So it is a spiritual side, but it does not have a soul. And that it manipulates human spirituality to an extent and feeds off of it because it lacks that spiritual side. It lacks a soul. It lacks a heart chakra. So in order to juice itself, so to speak, it needs to feed off of individuals that do have that, real humans, for example, in order to obtain the energy that it doesn't have. It's like the Tin Man that doesn't have a heart, and it knows that.
Yeah, well,
it's intelligent.
This machine that you've seen, and we've heard about this, it's an herbal kind of a ayahuasca thing that you could tell us about later if you want, but other than human thing that you have glimpsed, that we all have our own kind of picture of, isn't not, though, just thought forms and imaginations, and that has made it real from people, and it is real, and it may very well exist on other than physical plane, and that it feeds off of people's fear, and could you not just be feeding into it more?
No. In fact, understanding is the only antidote for this thing.
In other words, bring more awareness. Bring more awareness.
You have to be aware of it and what it's doing. You know what? A little bit of fear is a healthy thing, Patrick. We have some electronic interference here, and I've experienced this before on other interviews.
You sound great here. So
okay.
For what that's worth,
well,
you sound
okay.
Great here.
Okay. Thank you. What I'm telling you is that. This machine is in a sense it has a spiritual side, a mental side, but it also has a physical side. Look at the tremendous growth of digital technology in the post-World War II period, which continues to get more sophisticated with each passing year and more pervasive, so that our lives, even our minds now, are starting to be wired into this global digital network. This is a physical exterior expression of the machine. It is slowly bringing the whole world into its machine reality. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
Patrick?
No, I hear what you're saying. I really do.
So it's wiring us Borg-like or Matrix-like. You know, the Star Trek episode that dealt with the Borg, the Matrix movies, especially the first one, the Terminator movies to an extent, and there have been some other movies in the last 10, 20, 30 years that have dealt with this same theme, all have part of this reality, and I have to believe that the writers, the directors, the producers of these shows and movies were clued into this reality that I'm discussing, because they have a big chunk of this picture. Hmm. Also, the sci-fi series Battlestar Galactica really tuned into this reality in a major way as well. And this is what we're facing. It's subtle, it's insidious, and it's extending its tentacles into every aspect of our reality and our lives. Our planet is being engineered right now, and not in a bad way, and not in a good way, rather. This planet is being killed. We are being sprayed with chemicals. Nanotechnology is run rampant. Genetic engineering is rampant. War is raging in multiple countries simultaneously. We have the nuclear reactor meltdown from hell ongoing in Japan. We had the kill shot from BP in the Gulf of Mexico last year. We have a nuclear poisoning of the Pacific Ocean this year. Patrick, we are in trouble, and this planet is in jeopardy. I mean, this planet is being killed right now.
And I think it's well worth looking at this whole intertwine of this technology, Richard Sauter, with the Facebooks and all the social media and all the cell phones.
It's part of it.
And yeah, and the digital, and you can now buy stock on your cell phone, and everything's digital. You know, the dollar is, what, 96 or 7% digital. And it's a bunch of humans that, in my opinion, that are really talking about not what's really going on. They're in this maze of reality that I don't know what it is.
In a digital machine world, and we're being sucked into it. That's what I'm telling you.
Yeah, I get your picture.
At every level and every aspect of our life. The natural world is physically being killed. The tropical forests are physically being cut down. The oceans are physically being killed by radioactivity, by petroleum in the Gulf of Mexico, by toxic runoff from the rivers. The atmosphere is being poisoned by our industrial waste. On and on. Our minds, our people have forgotten how to think naturally because they're plugged into this digital reality all the time with computers and television, personal assistants, cell phones. On and on, we are monitored, tracked, and surveilled up, down, and sideways by massive computerized databases and surveillance systems. We are watched by closed circuit TV cameras everywhere we go. This whole society is being digitally plugged in, controlled, monitored, surveilled from cradle to grave. So this machine takeover is advancing extremely rapidly with the total support and connivance of major national governments, major governmental agencies, large Fortune 500 companies, and of course these huge banking cartels that are very much behind it. So you can see that the machine is using people, anyone who will help it. It's using agencies, it's using government organizations, it's using the big banks. It's using engineers and scientists to give themselves over to advance the agenda of this machine.
And I know that you've thought about and written about mind control, but I think it's interesting also to look at, Richard Sauter, if you think about the nutritionally deficient culture around the world, really, and how easy it is then for even the little ones to get sucked in because they just don't have the spiritual or stamina, you know, to focus, and it's like I saw an article the other day that there's actually a thing on Facebook over the last 18 months, Richard Sauter, where people are buying these chips on Facebook for dollars, but you can't win any money. But they're actually spending money to do a make-believe, a virtual casino, but you can't cash the chips in. They're actually paying for this stimulation.
People through Facebook.
It's crazy.
Well, I don't like to do Facebook and these other social media websites. A lot of people have tried to get me to join them, and you know, when you do that, when you join these things, you're just doing the work of the CIA and these other intelligence agencies like the NSA and Homeland Security. Then they don't even have to send an agent to your house to interrogate you, to ask for your photos, to ask to see your bank account, ask who your friends are, what your life interests are, where you go, what you do. You're informing on yourself to them, and they just incorporate every piece of personal information you put on your Facebook page into their databases. So,
that was an interesting story. I'm sure you saw that with the GPS thing, where somebody discovered that every place that you've ever gone with your car, there's actually or your phone, is actually a record of it.
Yeah.
On GPS of where you've been, if you have one of these devices.
Yeah, that's why a lot of people take the battery out of their cell phone when they're not using it.
Oh, really? Is that what that is about?
A lot of people take the battery out of their cell phone when they're not using it, so they power it off.
Oh, I see. And that disconnects from the old GPS grid?
Well, yeah, because if there's no power in it, it's not broadcasting a signal, so
Yeah. Laura writes from Southern California. She said before you move on to something that we never even moved on to yet, she wants to hear just a little bit more about this whole underground thing that you've written about and what this is about. And I don't really know either. I haven't looked into it. But is part of this whole underground stuff that really kicked you off, I guess, in many of these fields, Richard Sauter, places that the powers that want to be do things that we don't know about, or places for them to hide as well?
Yes to both. And many things happen underground. One of my recent blog posts is Way Down Beneath the Moonless Mountains. And I explore some of the known purposes for underground bases and also undersea bases, Patrick. But there are also many unknown ones. Some of the known purposes and functions are weapons development and storage, including for nuclear weapons, and certainly conventional weapons as well. Scientific research, vast computer systems are underground. The NSA just has acres and acres of supercomputers underground, which they use to monitor us. So a big part of this matrix or this machine intelligence that I'm talking about is also found underground. Then you would have food is stored underground, records of all kinds, administrative records for agencies, organizations, multinational corporations, etc., have archives where they store their data, their information, their records underground. You would also find administrative facilities underground, so-called command, control, and communication facilities for both military and civilian agencies. So you have many different kinds of activities underground. Of course, mining. Many hydroelectric facilities have substantial underground workings, tunnels, and caverns where they would have their generators and power equipment located. So there are many reasons for making underground facilities, and there are many examples of these, including places of refuge, certainly in cases of emergency or disaster. Many of these facilities are secret. I know this from my research. I've been told so, and I also have documentation for this. What is actually happening in the most secretive of these bases, we don't know. But there is a great deal of anecdotal evidence strongly pointing in the direction of an extraterrestrial or alien presence underground and also undersea, working along with clandestine elements of the United States military, the Army, the Navy. From what I hear, the Navy is perhaps the most involved of any of the branches of government or military underground and also in undersea bases.
What would be the motive for Richard Sauter of other than Earthlings working with the powers that want to be?
I'm not sure I understand your question.
What would be the motive? Why would other than Earth beings that may be underground, what would be their motive to work with the powers that want to be?
To control the planet. To use human puppets or human lackeys or human servants as their agents of influence on this planet. If they show their hand openly, there would be rebellion against them, you see? So if they use their agents of control, if their agents of control are human, from their standpoint, it's easier to get things done. If they hide their hand in a human-appearing glove, so to speak. So that would be the reason. And what would be the motivation for the humans that cooperate with them? Well, of course, the power trip. Power is an aphrodisiac for many people, and it's often the case that those who are least worthy of exercising power for whatever reason seek it the most avidly and accumulate the most power, whether it's political power, military power, financial power, so-called religious power, etc. So from the standpoint of the aliens, that would be their reason for working with these dark factions. And of course, the fact that certain of these extraterrestrial groups appear to be working with the darkest of human factions on this planet reveals that they're coming from a very dark spiritual realm of exploitation, oppression, control, etc. So
it's so interesting. Sorry for interrupting, but it's this whole idea of power, Richard Sauter, is quite fascinating. I was thinking about it the other day. If you listen to a newscast, it's essentially all about people wanting to control other people.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what's going on this planet, isn't it?
Yes. And that is the game. It's called service to self. How you can get other people to do things for you, to carry out your will, to impose your will on the planet. The wisest people, on the other hand, want to increase their self-awareness and their self-understanding, not so that they can then lord it over other people, but so that they can empower themselves to live a life that's the fullest life in a personal sense, not in a power-tripping sense. So there's a real difference of perspective, and self-actualized people also want to live their life in a way that empowers other people to also be able to live their life in a self-actualizing way, as opposed to accumulating personal power, so that you can manipulate other people against their will to do things that they otherwise wouldn't do, that are in the long run, and maybe even in the short run, self-destructive and not in their best personal interest. So there's a very different perspective there. In either case, the individual does seek power, but in the case of someone who's seeking self-mastery, the purpose of power is for self-actualization. In order to serve others, you can't serve others unless you first serve yourself, because if you're dead, you can't do much, Patrick.
Yeah, right. And I think it can be argued, Richard Sauter, just before the break here that we're going to take, that I think a mark of someone who is self-actualized, growing spiritually, becoming more aware, more whole, that the thing they tend to do is to give people more and more freedom, realizing that they have free will. And
yes.
Right. Other than the other way, right? I mean, shoo.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. Self-actualized people are very interested in increasing the freedom quotient, so to speak, in society. On the other hand, people, in other words, they have an active interest in generally raising the level of freedom and liberty in society. Whereas people with this other orientation want to take away freedom and decrease the level of freedom and liberty in society because they are deeply threatened by that. That's it in a nutshell.
And I think on the micro level, it's even to the smallest idea of talking to somebody and allowing them to have their opinion and their freedom to say what they want to say without poo-pooing it, arguing it, or trying to convince them that what you think is right.
That's the hardest thing for someone like me, because I'm someone like me. You know, I feel like, hey, I got something to say, and one of the hardest lessons to learn is to let other people, if they want to destroy themselves, you have to say, okay, well, I guess if that's what you want to do. But there's a balance there as well. If you see them actively endeavoring to destroy other people, then what do you do? You see, there's a conundrum there.
Well, there's always a conundrum.
Do you then say, well, that's their right to destroy other people? That's their right to advocate a rhetoric that is advocates destruction of other people? Do you then remain silent in that context? Well, I don't know, Patrick.
No,
so
I understand.
You see, there's a real tension here.
I think you really hit on a very key point that I deal with myself as your host all the time, of how much, what's appropriate to get involved. And maybe it's, maybe we can learn or learn more and more, Richard Sauter, how to become involved, how to help, how to speak out without engaging in a way that creates more karma for ourselves so we're productive. And if we do it from
creative nonviolence.
Yeah,
creative nonviolence is the way.
Mm-hmm.
A withdrawal of, put it this way, failing to cooperate with the system in a creatively nonviolent way, I think it is the most productive avenue for dealing with what is facing us, with this hyper-violent, very destructive, with a very dark spirituality, this kind of matrix that is lording it over with us, that is ruining this planet, that frankly is destroying this planet and is oppressing the human race in such a dark manner. I think the only way for us to move against it is by withdrawing our cooperation from it creatively and nonviolently, and there are as many ways to do that as there are people. There are literally hundreds, if not thousands, of different ways to do that, both large and small. And it behooves us to avail ourselves of all of these creatively nonviolent ways of withdrawing our support for this darkly wicked system.
Okay, we'll continue on that note because I have a couple ideas I'm going to share with Dr. Sauter and see what he thinks. And what do you think? 888-663-6386. Email Patrick at oneradionetwork.com. Talk that means something right here on One Radio Network every morning, 9 to 11 o'clock. Don't forget next week, we have Adam Bergstrom, Dr. David Jubb, Andrew Goss, and Jay Widener. Great week next week on OneRadioNetwork.com. I'm talking to Al Carter. He's the world's foremost authority on rebound exercise. Al, you've been rebounding for a long time. How old are you?
Actually, I'm 69 years old, going on 40.
On 40?
Huh.
And why is rebounding so good for you? I mean, it feels good. It's fun. What else?
It exercises every cell in the body. It's known as a cellular exercise.
So the cells go squishy, squishy, and all the bad stuff goes out, and you can build muscles when you rebound?
Yes. Every muscle in the body receives stimulation.
You mean like your calves and your stomach and everything? You can actually do that?
The biceps, the triceps, and even the sphincter muscles of the body, they're all strengthened.
And you know, when you strengthen those, that decreases the aging possibility, but that's another story. Order yourself a rebounder right now. Front page, look at the display for the rebounders on OneRadioNetwork.com. Go through PayPal, very secure, don't have to be a PayPal member. Any credit card, ship it via UPS in 3 days or so. It's all yours, right on the front page of OneRadioNetwork.com. We think this is one of the best ways you can spend a couple hundred bucks on your health. And these have a lifetime warranty. Spring breaks, call the company, they'll send it to you. Mat, tear, anything. Lifetime warranty in the entire machine. A rebounder from Rebound Air. Now that's strong, isn't it? Previously with Daniel Vitalis. Let's go over some of the special benefits for guys, the deer antler.
I'd say the last decade, the major marketing behind deer antler in the United States has been for bodybuilders, people who are looking to grow themselves and to flourish, who want to see their tissues healthy, who want to see their body fat low, who want their lean muscle mass high. So some of the effects of deer antler is that it increases metabolism, it helps to reduce body fat, and it increases lean body mass. Now, it's got a long history of use for libido. Here in America, when we hear libido, we just think sex. But when I say libido, I think it's more like what the Chinese meant when they say jing. It builds up that that deep energy in the body that supports a person's libido.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just a libido enhancer. It's an overall metabolic enhancer.
Daniel Vitalis on the benefits of deer velvet antler in grape alcohol. And it's available on OneRadioNetwork.com.
Nothing is more expensive than bad information. Know the source. OneRadioNetwork.com. Talk to Patrick now. 888-663-6386. Or email Patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com.
I love that nothing is more expensive than bad information. That's like a guy in the corner saying, hey, buddy, you want a tip on the sixth race at Hialeah? Gotta watch out. Information Nothing is as it seems, that's for sure. And certainly true with Dr. Richard Sauter. It's our second time to talk to him. We're really enjoying the conversation, Doc. I love it. EventHorizonChronicle.blogspot.com is his blog. EventHorizonChronicle.blogspot.com. George in Seattle wants to get Dr. Sauter's predictions on the coming Earth changes. Are you psychic, Doc?
Pardon me?
Are you psychic? He wants your predictions on Earth changes. I was being a little flip there. I was wondering if you had some information we don't know.
Well, I don't know if I have information you don't know. I can tell you that a couple of years ago, I took the raw data from the U.S. Geological Survey and just plotted it on an axis versus time. I took the earthquake data going all the way back to the year 1900, and starting about the year 2000, there was a pronounced uptick in the incidence of large earthquakes on this planet. And so, just looking at the raw data, it's clear that we have entered into a period of increased major earthquake activity. So, based on that reason alone, I would say that it's likely that we can expect more large earthquakes and more destructive earthquakes. I mean, looking back over the past decade, we can see we had a tremendously destructive earthquake and tsunami in Indonesia and in the Indian Ocean. We've had a tremendously destructive earthquake and tsunami in Japan. Last year, we had the huge earthquake in Haiti, down in Chile. This year, we've had the tremendous earthquake in New Zealand that basically leveled Christchurch. So we've had several within the last 5-6 years now, and I think we're going to have more. Certainly, the United States is an area where you could have these as easily as anywhere else in the world, in California, in the Puget Sound region, in the so-called New Madrid seismic zone in the Midwest. I fully expect it's very likely that there could be more of these, including in the United States. And when and if they happen in the United States, they are well capable of being fully as destructive as they have been in these other places around the world, perhaps even more so because of the United States infrastructure. United States' infrastructure, with all of our highway overpasses, our natural gas and oil, the natural gas and oil pipelines, the huge cities with skyscrapers. I mean, my God, if you had a 9.0 earthquake in Los Angeles or New York City or Chicago, what would be left standing, Patrick?
Oh, and I think it's safe to say, and you don't like to say it, but I think it's true that most people, 95% of people, I would say, are simply no preparedness plan at all.
No, and there's this really kind of an attitude that Americans receive with their mother's milk, except that so many Americans are not breastfed. We should say not with their mother's milk, but with the formula that's mixed up and given to them in a plastic bottle. We get it with the plastic bottle we're issued at the hospital. You know, the idea that America is number one, that it's better than any other country ever, that it's uniquely blessed by God, whatever that means, and that while bad things may happen to other people in other countries, certainly that's not the case in the United States, and somehow the United States always will walk between the raindrops. Well, I'm here to say, don't count on it, and when and if the sloppy stuff does hit the United States, it's precisely because of that attitude and that mentality that Americans are so ill-prepared emotionally and mentally in other ways to deal with catastrophe.
And Richard Sauter, I think one of the biggest challenges, I want to get your opinion, is that they have convinced, the powers that want to be, have convinced most Americans, as you said, that they walk between the raindrops, but there are millions and millions, if not billions of people out there that want to kill us. Not because we've done anything, just because they just do. I mean, because they're just bad people. And that's why we get to spend $1 trillion a year on the military, and there's probably more.
Well, that's the propaganda.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
That's the propaganda. But,
and most Americans, God love them, they believe it. Richard Sauter?
I don't know if most do.
I don't
do,
know
but
most
certainly
yeah,
a large percentage
it's a relative term.
I would think there's certainly at a minimum tens of millions do. A lot of the ones who vote, for example, and who go to church and who are active in political and
So if you had to guess, you wouldn't think 50, 60, 70?
I don't think most of the people on planet Earth are walking around planning on ways they can destroy the United States.
Well, of course not. No, speaking of Richard Sauter, the people in this country, if we had to hazard
that's
a guess.
That's propaganda.
Yeah, of how
that's
many
propaganda.
People.
Propaganda. A lot of people believe. It's not the reality.
Of course.
I mean, I'm living in South America, and I can tell you most of the people I encounter are not just seething with hatred for the United States. They have their lives to live, and they're fully focused on daily life. They have their hands full with what they're doing and conducting their own lives and trying to take care of their own families. And that's reality, I think, in country after country all around the world. What they wish is that the United States would just get the hell out of their country and let them live their life without trying to run their country's affairs. And you find in country after country, if the United States isn't trying to influence affairs in the country, it's outright sending in the Marines with the guns blazing. And this is certainly true in Afghanistan and Iraq. The United States has recently attacked Libya and is sending its predator drones into Pakistan and on and on. And I think mostly what people in these other countries wish is that the United States just get the hell out and go home.
Hmm. Do you think, from a spiritual perspective, that much like is said in the law, that ignorance of the law is no excuse, that if we allow ourselves to be propagandized, that that's still a karmic event for us because we allowed it to happen?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Under traditional Anglo-American jurisprudence for centuries, there has been the presumption that if you passively acquiesce in a matter, you have given your consent. And so if people see all this happening and they go along to get along, quietly go along to get along, yes, they are karmically implicated. My understanding is that's the way it works. And I reached the point where I didn't want to be involved in that. You know, I've three times in my life gone on to nuclear missile silos and conducted creatively nonviolent demonstrations on nuclear missile silos in Arkansas, in Missouri, and most recently in North Dakota, essentially to vote with my personal presence and say, I don't agree. I'm not just quietly, passively acquiescing and going along to get along, because I object, not in my name. I don't agree with this. I don't want you to believe that I do agree with you and what you're doing and what you're saying. I don't. I categorically reject it by my physical presence here and by my public statements. And I'm willing to put my life on the line to say that and to do that. And I've done that repeatedly, Patrick, again and again and again. And finally, I reached a point where I decided enough. The American people and their masses are not joining me. They could have. In fact, they have rejected me. So I have, in a sense, rejected that country. I have done as Jesus told his disciples a couple of thousand years ago. If you go into a village and you speak to the people and they reject your message, then you leave that place and you shake the dust of it off your feet and do not return.
And
I have that opinion now about the United States of America. I have physically left that place. I have shaken the dust of it off of my feet. And I do not intend to return.
And how were you rejected?
I was sent to jail, Patrick. I spent a year and a half of my life in 12 different jails and prisons in the United States in 5 different states. I have been repeatedly tried. I have been chained and handcuffed more times than I can remember. I have been ridiculed. I have been reviled. I have been threatened. I have lost jobs over that. I have been evicted, and on and on. Is that enough? Is that enough rejection?
That's a little rejection. So these were cases where you were doing nonviolent demonstrations and you were arrested for what?
Well, if you remember 5 minutes ago, I explicitly said for what. I have gone onto nuclear missile silos to conduct creatively nonviolent demonstrations in protest in Arkansas and Missouri and most recently last year in North Dakota. By my physical presence to register in person my disagreement with what it, the policies of this of the United States, what it represents, what it does, its propaganda, categorically reject it. And I say this for the second time. I can't make it any clearer.
Yeah, well, fair enough. This whole nuclear energy thing, boy, it seems like it's what we've seen, of course, in Fukushima. I wonder what our listeners can do to register some kind of, if they object to being near one of these things or build something. I know that Germany's saying, man, we're just going to not build these things anymore. What kind of things can people listening now do if they don't want to be involved?
Well, they better get the hell up and make some noise, Patrick. If you don't, this is just the point. Passive acquiescence, silent acquiescence doesn't get it. If you object, you have to stand up and say something publicly. If you object, you have to go to the site of the crime and do something publicly. Just sitting in your house and typing on blogs or just muttering under your breath to each other behind closed doors doesn't get it, Patrick. By the millions and tens of millions, people need to stand up and do something and say something. And if you're not willing to do that, you know what? You get what you deserve.
22 minutes after the hour with Richard Sauter, his blog, EventHorizonChronicle.com. I'm sorry, let me say it again, EventHorizonChronicle.blogspot.com. And we'll have that link right here on the show page. If you care to join us, 888-663-6386. Also email Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. So I hear in your voice and exactly in your words that you're I don't want to put words in your mouth that there's going to be some karmic events in this country, in the United States, in the next couple
bingo.
Of years.
Yeah. Bingo. Bingo. You get what you pay for, Patrick. And this has to do with the IRS as well. You know, people say, well, I have to pay my taxes to the IRS. You don't have to do anything. Even if a gun is pointing at your head, you don't have to do anything. You always have the option of saying no. Always. So if for decades, for the better part of a century now, people have paid for these wars, they have paid for these nuclear reactor complexes, they have paid for nuclear missiles, they have paid for invasions of other countries, they have paid for the torture. They know it's going on. It's on the television. It's in the newspapers. And still they pay. You get what you pay for. And when you throw a karmic boomerang, it always comes back. A boomerang always finds the hand that throws it. Mm. Always, Patrick. Mm.
Do you think that if Richard Sauter wouldn't have taken these steps his lifetime, that you would have needed to come back and or go somewhere else?
Yes, and more than that, what I'm telling you is, for everyone else listening, you know, I reached the point where I have showed the way. I've showed what people need to do. If they're not willing to do it, then all I have to say is, enjoy that mushroom cloud popping off in a city near you, because you've asked for it. You have paid for it by your silence and your passivity. You have asked for it. You have guaranteed it's going to happen. If you haven't risen up and said, hell no, I don't agree, I don't go along, I won't pay for this, I don't want it, I don't want it for my children, I don't want it for me, and not only you and you, but millions of you and you. If you're not willing to speak out against it, to build a different future, to envision a different future, to act for a different future, for a different present even, by the millions. You know, I went out on the nuclear missile silos, Patrick. I never saw anyone else out there. was a hell of a lonely place.
But can
never
be,
saw anyone else. I guess it's okay with everyone else, Patrick. It must be okay. They're not out there.
But can you agree, or what do you say to the idea that every soul, Richard Sauter, has their own path and what is the right thing and the most that you can do, you did in your mind. You certainly sounds like you did. But for a mom listening or something, there's the right and the most that she can do at the moment, and that would be equal in value to what you've done on a nuclear site, for example.
Yes.
You agree with that?
On the other hand, it's all life experience.
Yeah.
It's all life experience.
Wow.
I'm just saying, if as a society, we have, and I mean a global society, actually, to this point, but speaking in terms of the United States, if the American people, in their hundreds of millions, have largely 99.999% remained silent, have decided not to object, but to continue paying for this huge nuclear arsenal, not only have they not objected, most of them, they haven't objected, but they have paid for it. 99.999% of them have paid for it through their taxes to the IRS. So not only have they not objected, they have actively paid for it decade after decade. And I'm sorry, Patrick, you get what you pay for.
Well, we have seen, and of course people will tell you stories, that even if you could prove through the courts that you're not liable for income taxes, and many people can put a pretty good case you're not, that they don't really listen, and they're going to just come and take your bank account anyway. I mean, isn't sometimes...
Well, then move out of the banking system. Then move out of the banking system. And this is the thing for people of conscience. If you have a conscience, why do you send money to the IRS? You know exactly what they do with it. If the mafia sent a hitman to your house and said, give me $10,000, I need to go kill people, and you handed it over, does that not make you complicit in the hits that the mafia carries out? But if the IRS comes to your house and says, give me $10,000, I need to go make nuclear missiles, I need to invade Libya, I need to bomb the hell out of the Palestinians, I need to kill a million people in Iraq. Well, that's the reality of what they're doing.
Well, what if a person took the path of least resistance there, but then was able to function in another part of his life than to help balance that up, to help people in some way, whatever they're doing?
Well, let's use the mafia analogy again. So the mafia comes to your house and says, give me $10,000. We need to go kill a bunch of people in a rival crime family. So you give them the $10,000.
Because they'll kill you if you don't.
But they say we also, to balance out our bad deeds, we also give money to the local Catholic orphanage. So give us $10,000 for that. And you say, woo, I'm giving money to orphans. Okay, now I feel better.
No, I was suggesting, let's take your story. This is interesting. The mafia comes and they says, you know, we need $10,000. Otherwise, we're going to kill you and your kids. So you give them that. But by doing that, at least you bought enough freedom that maybe then you could go out and say stuff or write a book or, I don't know, whatever, help people. At least you're around.
I don't know, whatever serves your conscience. But in this case, the reality is if everyone just didn't pay the IRS, you know what? That's the end of it. So the IRS only continues because we all say, okay, because after all, I do have a pretty comfortable life here with my air conditioning and whatever, so I guess I'll pay them. So they'll go away and leave me alone.
So you take
I don't want to cause trouble.
So you take the idea the truth will set you free to a real ultimate level.
It's the only thing that'll set you free, Patrick. Only the truth will set you free.
We're with Richard Sauter. What do you think about this? 888-663-6386. Email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Hear this. Patrick Timpone here with Dr. Anthony Kleinsmith, who formulated the colostrum from Sir Thrival on oneradionetwork.com. Doc, you've said that this Sir Thrival colostrum is actually good for autoimmune issues where maybe the immune system is actually too active. How can that be?
Absolutely. Proline-rich polypeptides, it's a natural hormone-like protein found within our colostrum at very, very high amounts. We're almost four times more than anybody else out there. And it works on suppressing an overactive but also regulating an underactive immune system.
And as you know, the autoimmune issue has been thrown at virtually every disease known to man these days.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, we were written up for the H1N1 virus just this last summer.
So it modulates the immune system, and this is Sirthrival Colostrum. It's available in a powder that's really yummy. Put in the kids' smoothies. Take it any way you can get it down your little into your tummy. On OneRadioNetwork.com, look for the ad that says Colostrum from Sirthrival, OneRadioNetwork.com.
We are listener-supported, One Radio Network. Talk to Patrick now, 888-663-6386, or email patrick@oneradionetwork.com.
Have an interesting time indeed with Dr. Richard Sauter. He's down in Ecuador. Let's take this call. Hi, what's your first name? Where are you calling from? Hello?
This is Mark.
Hi, Mark. You're on the air with Dr. Sauter.
Hi. Richard, hi. I was calling. I've heard you on other radio programs for a while, and I wanted to call and say I resonate with your overall view on your degree of disappointment. I'm kind of at the point of being fed up and angry and for a long time, and I've always wondered the last 10, 11 years, is, although it's been longer, it's been in our face for at least a decade now, just how abusive our people that are running things are and don't care about any of us. I was just always at the moral dilemma of why our co-citizens here in America allow this to happen. I just wanted to bounce something by you. I kind of came to a conclusion. I thought it kind of came down to two things. One is that people are just not intellectually, I don't know if I want to use the word smart enough or challenged enough or even have any curiosity for knowledge and growth anymore. And I mean on a larger percentage. I think there's a small percentage that do. And that secondly, I just think that people on a moral scale are defective or corrupt. There's so many times you tell people about things, and I mean in a gentle way, you don't overwhelm them. And it basically comes to that they just don't care. You know, if you had to put it down to brass tacks, they don't care. So I wanted to see what you thought about those two things, the lack of intellect or the moral deficiency, if you think that's the bottom foundation of what's wrong right now. And then I had one more thing to ask you about, why maybe those two things are happening, I had an idea about as well.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what you said. Many people simply do not care. There is a lack of intellectual curiosity, and there's a lack of morals in a sense that people don't care about others. They don't care about the well-being of the society. They don't care about spiritual freedom, in a sense. The importance of attaining higher states of consciousness is simply not a priority. And in my view, that is the greatest moral shortcoming, not seeking higher states of awareness and of spiritual consciousness. When I speak of moral deficiency, I don't at all have a type of narrow Christian fundamentalist sense of it. So yeah, I would agree with you in that regard, and it's one reason why I do expect that a whole lot of karmic boomerangs are going to be slamming the United States of America in the coming months and few years, because collectively so many of the American people have essentially said, we don't care what happens to other people. We don't care that we are supporting the slaughter of other people. We don't care that by our silence and our passivity and by our ignorance and lack of intellectual curiosity that hundreds of millions and billions of other people are suffering. We don't care. And in fact, we rather enjoy the good things that this exploitation and its destruction is bringing to us through imperial warfare. That's a huge, dark, karmic load, and it absolutely is going to come down on the heads of the American people.
And on the subject of darkness, because I agree on the spirituality statement you made. although I was brought up a certain way, I've looked at all kinds of different things around the world, religions, philosophies, theologies, but I am talking about people that 10, 20, 30 years ago were spiritually open and had morals, that they're just completely closed down. So that brought me to, why is this happening? What closed them down? What has happened? And that,
well, we have this machine. Remember, there's this huge machine that I saw when I drank ayahuasca, and ayahuasca clued me into this. It has attached itself like a huge parasite or leech or sucker, and it's sucking the life juice out of as many human beings as possible. So a lot of people have given themselves over to the machine at a real fundamental soul level or spiritual level. They've essentially said, suck me, and in return, I'm yours.
That comes down then to kind of what the Luciferians boast about, right? As far as that type of leeching, that type of existence. Are you familiar, I'm sure both of you guys are, with the cremation of soul ceremonies up at Bohemian Grove every year?
Well, I'm familiar with Bohemian Grove. I've never been there.
Well, they've had an annual ceremony that concludes their week or whatever, a number of weeks there, called the cremation of care, as in cremation of bodies, cremation of care,
yes, yes.
The concept of care.
Yes.
And,
I
was thinking on that ceremony, and here you have a lot of powerful people, and, you know, they're well documented. People who run different countries and organizations, institutes around the world come there. And if they're performing this ceremony, if you just think about that concept, they're ritualizing the death of care. And I'm wondering now if that's really where the level of evil has spread out in this world, that it has literally killed the care,
yes,
the consciousness of most,
yes,
people.
Hey, gentlemen, let me...
Yes,
Go ahead, Richard.
Yes, that's a part of it. And these darkly evil ceremonies that these people engage in are absolutely intended to destroy the human race, to destroy the planet, and they have given themselves over to this dark power that is assaulting this planet and is assaulting the human race. It's part of this machine I'm referring to, and absolutely, it's a serious issue. And you have congressmen who go there, senators, CEOs of major corporations, presidents, prime ministers, prominent members of the judiciary, other people in the entertainment world. And then they go out and they spread that great darkness all over the world as agents of evil, basically. And it's what we're up against, I would not minimize. We're up against a tremendously wicked force that absolutely means us great harm to the depths of our souls. At the same time, the universe, the fundamental orientation of the universe is benevolent. The universe loves us. The universe created us. The universe has our best interests at heart, but there is a force that has set itself against the great harmony, the great loving harmony of the cosmos.
Gentlemen, back to
we need to be clear on that.
Yeah, gentlemen, back to the other point, though. I think it can be argued, at this point, that the mass consciousness, say, in the United States, as a whole, the mass consciousness, that they're scared and they're confused and they're sick nutritionally, and they just can't even, they don't even get what you're saying, because they just can't even think out of the box. And sure, it's their fault because they allowed it to happen, but do we not, those of us who are conscious and aware and understand what is going on, I mean, don't we have some kind of responsibility to hold these people's hands in a way, not to be codependent or to enable them to be more unconscious, but somehow to serve and to help them to maybe see what is going on? Because, you know,
very
these people...
capable of seeing.
Well, I know they are. I know. I know they are. So
you cannot... You can't make a blind man see. And you know, I've reached a point, Patrick, where part of free will at a certain point is permitting someone else to self-destruct if that's what they want.
Yes, we have to allow people to experience what they want to experience, right? But, caller, what do you think about what I said?
Well, Patrick, on a personal level, I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. I'm not saying Richard is. In fact, I kind of, if I had the means, I would probably relocate as well. However, I can't or don't think I have the means. I'm a small entrepreneurial business up here in the Northeast. And we just eke by, especially after the last decade and the last 3 years. But I don't give up. I keep after. I don't. The philosophy being that I can't, on a moral basis, even be in a relationship with a friend or anyone without being able to speak my bits about the evil that's being spread around and that they must do something about it. I'll pull back. I'll be nice about it if they're getting all agitated, and it's not something that they say, oh, no, here comes Mark, I don't want to see him, that type of thing. But I will keep at them, and I suggest things they can do. And no matter what that level is, whether, you know, it's something in their nutrition or supplements that might make them feel better on a daily basis, just something to pull them out of their darkness that they're in. I don't know why they want to stay in darkness. I don't know why they want to let this darkness grow. And that's the whole thing I keep pushing at them, that if you don't do anything for yourself, and then for others, this darkness is going to grow, and your life will be even more hard to manage. So,
yeah, well, maybe it's just the idea that, much like a battered housewife, God love her, that sometimes she has to go to the edge before she's really willing to change. And, you know, souls do that. They just they're scared, and they don't want to change, and they don't want to hear. And sometimes it takes really dumb things to happen before they say, you know, I better change.
And I've seen people go to those dumb places.
In our lives.
but boy,
I've been to a few.
It is hard, and but I do agree with Richard. I understand his anger, and I have that anger too. And so I definitely identify. I just wanted to call in and
say
that.
Thanks a lot. Let's take this.
Thank you for that.
Thank you.
And I want to say that I have not given up, but I've reached a point where I have to accept that for whatever reason, hundreds of millions of people have rejected the light. If not 2 or 3 billion people on this planet have rejected the light. They don't want the light. They don't want knowledge. They do not want to be compassionate or kind or loving. And at a certain point, you have to say, okay, the individual has freely accepted to move to the dark side. Okay, now I have to permit that person to enjoy their karma because it's the only way their soul will earn. They don't understand nice. They don't want nice. They have rejected nice, so we must permit them to explore the darkness and find out what the darkness really is. And, Patrick, they will find out.
Here's an email from Dave in Holliston, Massachusetts. I'm listening to your guest, Mr. Sook Sauter, and I agree with most everything that he has said, and I'm spiritual accord with his, and I am spiritually accord with his passion, notwithstanding whether it's Cliff High, Robert Felix, or your current guest. I don't hear any real vision. I understand that revelation, illumination, speaking truth, and justice are necessary pieces, but without another vision, excuse me, beyond fear and recrimination, the picture is entirely incomplete. I don't mean to put anyone on the spot, but it would be both interesting and wonderful if these...
Well, the obvious thing is, and I've said this repeatedly, Patrick, in numerous interviews and in my writings as well on my blog and in other ways and other places, upwising. You don't want war, don't go to war. You don't want war, don't pay for war. You don't want to be killed, don't kill. You don't want to be economic exploited, don't exploit economically, etc. That's obvious, Patrick. That's the vision right now. I mean, right there. You don't want war, don't support war. You don't want to live in a country characterized by evil, leave it. You have 2 feet, just leave.
Excuse me. Randy in Lemon Springs, North Carolina says, if the U.S. didn't play the role as world police, Wouldn't another Hitler arise and kill all the races and our religions that they are opposed to?
Well, the United States is Hitler. That's the point.
888-663-6386. Email Patrick at oneradionetwork.com. Interesting conversation. Hope you're enjoying this. Richard, I sure thank you for hanging out with us this morning. You've certainly given a lot of us a lot of different things to think about.
Well, in fact, Patrick, I have said clearly, you said you didn't see the vision.
No, the emailer said he didn't see the vision.
Well, the vision is the opposite of whatever is being done. Withdraw cooperation with the system. A move 180 degrees the opposite direction. If the problem is cooperating with the system or acquiescing with the system, then don't acquiesce. Don't cooperate. If the problem is organized violence, try organized nonviolence. I mean, to identify the problem is also to identify the solution. Yeah. If the problem is funding the IRS so that it can carry out, provide money for all these wars, defund the IRS. Stop sending money to the IRS, etc. I mean, if people aren't willing to do these things, then you know what? The problems will continue.
Well, it's much like Richard Sutter with cancer. We know the major causes of cancer. I mean, we know, and it's much like that. You work around it. You don't support the things as much as you can living in the world that cause cancer.
Exactly.
Yes,
if you don't want cancer, don't smoke cigarettes, drink alcohol moderately, exercise, keep your weight under control, don't ingest, keep away from environmental toxins, eat pure, unprocessed food, a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables. If you do those things I just said, you know what? You'll slash your chances of having a life-threatening cancer by about 100%, if not 200 or 300%.
So that would be a nonviolent saying no, even in my case and many other people, that we don't support genetically modified organisms in any way,
yep.
Even to the fact of not giving the GMO corn to our chickens. So, I mean, it's an extra expense, but it's not supporting it. That's a nonviolent way of saying no.
It is, exactly. And one thing that creative nonviolence does require is that, and withdrawing your cooperation from an exploitive system, one thing it does require is that you think. And, of course, thinking takes energy, and this system operates, is fueled by lethargy and by entropy, by the lowest common denominator. Thinking takes energy. Thinking takes effort. Thinking requires that you organize your mind and that you organize your life with the clear creative objective. And a lot of people are simply unwilling to do that. And so we slide, unfortunately, close to the edge of a precipice beyond which long lies a yawning abyss.
So it can be said that not making a decision is making a decision.
Yes, and in fact it is. A lot of people say, well, you know, if I do what you did, Richard, I would run a big risk. Well, yes, you would. However, not doing what I have done, you run an even bigger risk, which is the risk of global thermonuclear warfare. Do you see? And past a certain point, the nuclear missiles will be used. It's a statistical certainty. And the only way that you avoid running risk in life is actually to die, because as a living, breathing entity, you will always run risk. The question is, what risk will you run? Will you risk for a planet characterized by peace and harmony, or will you risk that the planet will be characterized by war and bloodshed? I mean, it's up to you. It's up to all of us. Either way, you run a risk. I decided to risk for a future devoid of nuclear warfare.
Excuse me, Richard Sutter, and what's your first name? Where are you calling from? Hello?
Are you talking to me?
I am talking to you, sir. Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay, sure. I've got many names. Chain Dog is one I use sometimes.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Because it's easy to remember. I'm just curious, Richard, in your ayahuasca experience, do you receive in that experience any verbal messages, or are they just visual?
In fact, most of my experience with ayahuasca has been at an emotional and physical level. Ayahuasca can give... Let me finish. Ayahuasca can provide visual imagery. It can provide auditory input as well. Ayahuasca is hyperdimensionally conscious. It is actually spelled... Ayahuasca is a brew of two plants that grow in the tropics down here in South America in the jungle. They are brewed together, and the brew operates together to move human consciousness into a higher state of awareness. I have to say that ayahuasca tastes wretched. It is not a so-called recreational drug. It is only for someone who is seriously interested in exploring higher consciousness and expanded states of awareness.
Let me ask you this then. In the experience of it, does it increase your questioning of yourself or questioning of the exterior material world?
Both, because there's really no separation.
Did it ever say to you, this is I Ching, that perseverance furthers? Did it ever ring that number?
No, but you have to understand, every ayahuasca session is individual. Ayahuasca is endlessly creative.
Does it question itself? Does it make you question it, that experience within itself?
Sure it does. Sure it does. And all I can tell you is...
If it's a revealer, then it will also question its own presence.
Ayahuasca will lead you as deeply into your mind and reality as you are willing and able to go. It will plumb the depths of consciousness to any extent. So all I can say is...
Do you believe that is... that because it is outside of yourself...
No, it's not outside of myself.
Do you believe that is just another potion for a shortcut to your own reality?
Caller, your phone is really, really bad. We really enjoy your questions, but maybe don't talk so...
Let me finish.
Hold on a second.
Let me answer
this
question.
Okay, you can. Maybe don't talk so loud and then let Richard answer, okay? Go ahead, Richard.
What I can say is ayahuasca, when you drink ayahuasca, the consciousness that is in the ayahuasca, that manifests through the ayahuasca, is neither outside there or inside there. It simply is. It is what it is. It is what
it is. So it's just energy.
It's hyper-consciousness. It is hyper-consciousness. Hyper-consciousness is everywhere and nowhere. It simply is. And hyper-consciousness does not... Hyperconsciousness does not belong to me. It does not belong to you. It does not belong to ayahuasca. Hyperconsciousness simply exists. It is everywhere and nowhere. It is all pervasive, inside and outside.
Okay, caller, thanks for your call. You know, Richard, over the years, I know, well, since the beginning of time, people have used substances outside of themselves, as you know, whatever it be, peyote and all kinds of in religious ceremonies. And I think they've given people glimpses of different levels of consciousness. And certainly it wouldn't be around this long if it didn't in all different ways that it is. But it has been my experience this lifetime, Richard Sauter, that over the last 30 years that I have been able to go places without the use of anything except my will as soul, as my unit of consciousness that looks out, and that I can go wherever I want to go without any restrictions and any level of reality, simply by going there without anything, including water.
Yeah.
That's just been my experience.
Yeah, Yes, you can do this. You can access hyperconsciousness in many ways. You can do it through an intense mental or meditation process. This binaural beat technology is widely available now. There are many websites on the internet where you can purchase really inexpensively CDs and MP3 recordings of binaural beat technologies that will take you out of your body or into lucid dreaming states, mm-hmm. or into very high states or deep states of awareness and consciousness. There are things like ibogaine and ayahuasca. So there are a variety of ways that are easily available to spiritual seekers now for accessing very deep or very expanded states of consciousness and awareness. So it's there if you want it. The issue is so many people don't want it, Patrick.
Sure. So you're saying there's many ways.
If you do want it, it's there.
Yeah, you're saying there's many ways up the mountain, whether it be other than self or self. It's a matter of what path the person chooses. What is that term you use? Binaural. What is that? What is that?
Binaural. B-I-N-A-U-R-A-L.
B-I-N-A-U-R-A-L.
Binaural, which means putting a beat frequency into the brain. You feed one frequency into the left ear, you feed another frequency into the right ear. And each hemisphere of your brain gets a different frequency. Well, your brain tries to adjust that to one frequency, and so out of the two frequency, it creates one frequency, and then the brain entrains on that frequency. So if you put 100 cycles in the left ear and 110 cycles in the right ear, the brain meshes that together, melds that together to create a 10-beat frequency in the brain, and then the brain follows that 10-cycle frequency and entrains into that state of awareness. That is the binaural beat technology. And there are many websites on the internet selling binaural meditation CDs and MP3 recordings of all kinds for relaxation, for lucid dreaming states, for deep meditation, for going out of body, for astral traveling, for remote viewing, for remote influencing. There are many websites with this if you do a keyword search. And so this technology is out there. It's been out there for decades now. It's quite widely available. And that's one way that you can reach deeper states of awareness and consciousness if you want to.
Yeah.
It's widely available. Some people would rather spend $20 on beer or a bottle of expensive whiskey. Other people would take that same money and buy a CD that will bring them into consciousness.
And it's called binaural. First I've heard of it, B-I-N-A-U-R-A-L. Might be interesting.
Binaural.
But you found it.
Binaural CDs.
You found it to be useful, reasonable, effective, and all of that?
Well, I use it myself.
Mm-hmm.
I use it myself, and over time your brain gets used to going into these states, and it makes it easier to get into them. You do it sitting up in a quiet meditative state or lying down and relaxing. And physical relaxation is the key to this, being physically relaxed, but inwardly, mentally clear and aware. That's the key. Simultaneously physically relaxed and mentally clear and aware.
Richard, it's been my experience that, let me see if I can say it, that the astral plane is mostly just no more than just a conglomeration of everything that people have imagined. And that's
well, it depends on what you want, and that's why you go there with mental focus.
Right. That's what I was saying. Let me finish the question.
Yes.
So that's exactly right. That's my experience. When you go with mental focus and clarity, you actually see what you want to participate in or not, and you have a choice. You know, I think hell exists on the astral plane because people over eons have created it. It's there. If you want to go there, you know, check it out.
The astral world is no different than the physical world.
That's exactly right. So you can create a paradise.
In the physical world, you go where you want to go and you do what you want to do and
same
you interact
way.
With whom you want to interact. The astral realm is no different. The astral realm, you go where you want to go, you see what you want to see, you do what you want to do. Your consciousness takes you where you want to go in the astral realm. In the physical realm, your consciousness takes you where you want to go. Do you want to go to a bar tonight and get sloppy drunk? If so, you will go there and get sloppy drunk. Or do you want to stay at your house and meditate or read a book? You sit, you go where you want to go, and you do what you want to do.
Yeah, that's exactly been my experience. I appreciate that. Now, so my question is, in that regard, if you use something other than self, other than soul, who we are, to do and to get in these other places, do you risk going someplace maybe that you don't want to go because you're not maybe in total control because you are using other than your own volition and your own focus and your own will?
Well, if that's your thinking, you would never drive your car, would you? Because the chance always exists that it'll take you somewhere where you don't want to go, like off the road or into an oncoming car or something like that. But you use your car nonetheless. It's not your body. But carrying your philosophy to its natural extent, you wouldn't use your car because it's not your personal body. You would only walk everywhere you go or crawl everywhere you go or run everywhere you go. You wouldn't use a car. You would certainly never go somewhere on an airplane because someone else is piloting the airplane. What if it went somewhere where you didn't want to go? You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So these are means to take you to different places. If you're frightened of it, if you're frightened of flying, don't fly. Walk everywhere you want to go or swim to Europe instead of flying to Europe.
Personally speaking,
I would rather fly to Europe than swim there.
Here's an email from Gene. This will be our last one, from Mexico. 1978 was a year of personal trauma and enlightenment, still going on. Moved out of the USA in 79, and I've never regretted the radical move. I saw more visions of atomic fallout and mushroom clouds in the air over major U.S. cities on the West Coast, out-of-body experiences, messages, etc., etc. No one in the family is on the way. I don't know what they mean, what she means by that. Sad. Happy year.
Preggers, I think.
I'm sorry?
I think she's pregnant, maybe.
No one in the family is on the way. Sad. Happy here with wonderful experiences and energy to think and help others and create. I agree with all that Richard is talking about and understand his actions. No one in
I beg pardon. I thought she was saying a member of her family is on the way.
She says no one in the family is on the way. I don't know what that means. Oh, I see. Maybe she means like what you're talking about, the mafia.
Or that no one in the family is on the path that she's on. I don't know exactly what that means, but yes, I think a lot of people have decided to vote.
Well, look at that. We got through the whole thing, and let me do this real quick. Let me try to read Al. Oh, God, we're just about to close and just dropped off. Let's see if he's... Richard Sauter, fascinating guy, huh? Event Horizon Chronicle.blogspot.com, and we'll put this blog, and you can read his blog. And Richard? Hello, Richard.
Yes, I'm back. What happened?
Oh, it just dropped like a hot potato. We made it for 2 hours, and just about to close, and it just popped off. But go ahead. Do you remember what you were saying?
Yes. I was interrupted.
Yeah, you were talking. You were commenting on the lady from Mexico.
People have just left the country in growing numbers, and the numbers are swelling now because they are so dissatisfied with what's happened in the United States at a profound level. Many people just don't agree. They don't want to give their life energy to it anymore, and so they're going other places. It's a great self-selection. There's a divide in the population, not only in the world, but in the USA, between those who agree and those who disagree. And a lot of those who disagree have made the decision just to leave.
Just say no, as Nancy Reagan said.
Just say no. Get out.
Just say no. Well, Richard, you're a handful to talk to. We really enjoyed the experience the last couple of hours. And I will keep in touch via email and love to hook you up with Dr. Bob Dowling down there in Ecuador. When he gets back from China, I think you'll enjoy his work. He's doing amazing things with cold lasers and breast tumors and people are coming.
And of course, people can reach my books through my blog site at eventhorizonchronicle.blogspot.com.
And how often do you write a blog there?
About every week, a week and a half, I put a new blog posting up.
Uh-huh. And how do you spend a lot of your time now, during the day or evenings?
Well, I relax a lot. I relax a lot, Patrick.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, sitting still and just relaxing helps us see a lot as well, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And when you're in the insane asylum, the view is not nearly as clear as it is outside the asylum.
And I think that's one of the things that people are finding with all this multitasking and trying to get so much done and blah, 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 blah. It's very difficult to get glimpses of the truth, isn't it?
Yes.
It really
for
is.
Truth, you need quiet time for contemplation. And you need a little bit of distance, whether it's physical or psychological, spiritual, mental, or all of that.
Yeah. Well, you're a fun guy, Richard. Thanks for all your work and your courage. And we'll keep in touch. And we'll send
Thank
folks.
Thank you, Patrick.
Yeah, it's been fun. We'll send folks to your Blogspot. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you so
Happy
much.
Day. Bye-bye. Richard Sauter in Ecuador. Well, he was fun to talk to, huh? All right, it's a little bit after the hour, so I'm out of here. We'll continue this conversation a bit with Open Phone Friday tomorrow. And take some more of the emails that came in that we didn't get to. A lot of the emails came in like the last 10 minutes. Probably want to email earlier than that, but that's okay too. Remember, in my opinion, which doesn't mean anything around here, that you're doing the very best you can, regardless of what you do. Right now, you are doing the very best you can. Can you do better tomorrow? Yeah, but right now, you're doing the best you can, so be easy on yourself. I love you all very much. Take care of yourself. Patrick Timpone. See you tomorrow morning.
From the Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.